The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Divine mercy comes from the Latin word misericordia. So again, literally translated means to give one's heart to one who is in misery. So divine mercy in a real powerful way is Jesus pouring out his sacred heart to all of us who are in misery. That is why I love, one of the reasons why I love this message of divine mercy. And it really hits home on the Feast of Divine Mercy.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, this Sunday, the last Sunday, the eighth day of the octave of Easter, boy, we're going to have kind of an extraordinary opportunity to tap into some wonderful graces. Lord gave an extraordinary promise on this day, and he said to St. Faustina, I want this Feast of Mercy to be a refuge and a shelter for all souls. On this day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open, and I pour out a whole ocean of grace on those who will approach the font of my mercy. Just heard from a caller in Apple Valley, Minnesota, who's coming back to the church after a while. Stan, who's in Waco, Texas, has been away from the church for 50 years. He's feeling the tug. He says for about the past 6 months or so, he feels like he should go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. And he's speaking right now with Father David Michael Moses, who hails from Houston, Texas. Great to have him back here with us again. And Father, let's talk to Stan. He is married. And he claims that the priest he spoke to said, I can't give you a confession. So maybe we can bring some clarity to maybe what the priest was saying or to Stan in general.
Yeah, well, one, Stan, just awesome that you called. And God always wants us, right? So it's great that you're listening to that voice. The crux of the issue kind of is that as Catholics, in order to be truly married, we need to be married in the church because we're part of the Catholic family. So if we had previous marriages or we were married by just of the peace, we'd want to get those taken care of. And in order to be forgiven of a sin, we need to be willing to change. So if we're married outside the church, but we're living like husband and wife, being intimate, we need to turn away from that before we get forgiveness. And we don't really do partial confessions with certain sins, but some stay. So what I would really recommend, I really encourage, is talking to your priest about being willing to live as brother and sister with your significant other until you guys are able to work through the marriage situation. There's annulments that need to happen or getting married in the church. So there's a little bit of a sacrifice there, but once we're able to get rid of that obstacle, then we're able to come back and really receive the fullness of the mercy the Lord wants to give us. So that's kind of how we would address that situation. So that's how I would talk to him.
Okay, so I understand.
All right, well, Stan, I think God's working. I'm happy for you. I really am. You know, talk to the priest, maybe speak to somebody else as well. And Father Michael, thank you very much for all that you've done. Let me sneak another quick call in, if I can, and we're going to talk the Great Feast of Mercy. But I wanted to get you on this. I don't know what you're doing Divine Mercy Sunday at your parish, Father. Anything special? Are you holding the Divine Mercy services?
Yeah, so of course, it's a big celebration. The last parish I was at was actually called St. Faustina's.
Oh,
so it was about a week-long party over there, speakers and confessions and everything. So I'm speaking a lot about John Paul II this weekend, of course, who instituted this Divine Mercy Sunday. So yeah, it's going to be beautiful. I'm excited.
Thank God. And you have a conference coming up too, don't you? If people want to.
That's right. In the month, we're doing something called the Catholic Blueprint Conference, bringing in Abby Johnson, Gabe Castillo, Paul J. Kim, Steve Ray. Should be a lot of fun out here in Houston. So if anyone's in the area or not in the area, it's worth coming out for.
It is, and Galveston's a beautiful place. Let's sneak a quick call in. Tom's got a question about the Divine Mercy Promise. Let me jump into him first. Tom in St. Paul, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I have a question about the Divine Mercy. I've called in to Relevant Radio a couple times over the past few years with a couple of questions, and I've gotten different answers, hoping for a clarification.
Sure.
First question was I asked, what is the difference between the Divine Mercy promise of complete forgiveness of sins and punishment in versus any other plenary indulgence? And I asked that question, and the two answers that I received in the past were, one of the show hosts thought perhaps that one difference is that we do not need to have complete detachment from sin in order to receive the Divine Mercy promise of forgiveness of sins and punishment. The other answer was that the host, the co-host, believed that the divine mercy promise was not the same as a plenary indulgence, but that a plenary indulgence could be gained. So to boil it down, I'd really like to know, is there a difference between the divine mercy promise of complete forgiveness of sins and punishment and any other or any plenary indulgence, and is it required to have complete detachment from sin in order to receive that promise? Thank you.
Right, it's a great question, and that's really the heart of this day, isn't it, Father? Do you want to go first, or do you want me to start?
I think it sounds like you've been talking about it, so you can take it.
Well, and I think he's absolutely right in terms of what he's saying. There's a lot of confusion over it. Actually, Tom, my understanding is you get both. All right. So with a plenary indulgence, right, when we go to get a plenary indulgence, you have to have complete detachment from all sin. And that's often the difficult thing, right? So often we even have venial sin. But on this day, like many other days in which the church grants a plenary indulgence, you're able to get a plenary indulgence applied to yourself or to a soul in purgatory. But the beauty of this day of divine mercy, what the Lord had told St. Faustina, that on this day, all a soul has to do is to receive the Eucharist and go to confession, and all the temporal punishment that was due to your sin is gone. So you don't necessarily have to have those other requirements. So often you have to pray for the Pope. You have to have detachment from all sin immediately following that. The Lord offered what they call an extraordinary promise, and that is reception, sacramental confession, and reception of the Eucharist. And that's available to you. Of course, if you fulfill the other requirements as well, you can also, my understanding is, get a plenary indulgence, and that can be applied. I often offer it up for a soul in purgatory, somebody who's gone before me. But Father, I'll let you expand on that. That's kind of the thumbnail here.
Yeah, well, I just think all of this, right, just points back to a God who wants to continue to give and give and give. And he loves his children, and he wants to give us gifts. So our response, I think, should just be gratefulness, to keep giving, and to know that even the act of pursuing these indulgences or the divine mercy promise along with that, all just the actions themselves are conforming us to God, which is really what this is all about, right? So purgatory, all that's important, the indulgence, the remission of temporal punishment, all that is needed. And us doing these actions in response to God's mercy is accomplishing that. It is accomplishing that union. So it's just a good thing to respond to, even if we don't always understand all the specific mechanics perfectly.
No, I got it. Hey, Father, thank you so much for your time. It's great to have you here with me. I really do appreciate it. And I hope you have a blessed feast of divine mercy. I really
very
do.
Appreciate
Happy
it.
Happy Easter
Thanks
to
for
you.
All the good work that you're doing. God
yeah,
bless
I look forward
you.
To next time we talk. Looking forward to having you back.
Amen. Sounds
right.
good.
God bless. It's Father David Michael Moses. And, you know, let's talk for just a moment about the Feast of Divine Mercy. We're going to be joined also by our next guest, and she's a Sister of Mercy, St. Faustina's order, and we can expand on that as well. There's a lot of confusion over that. It's such a great call that came forward, you know, from our call there. You know, John Paul II, his father pointed out, made a surprise announcement at the canonization of St. Faustina. This was on April 30th in the year 2000, and he officially put the Feast of Divine Mercy on the calendar. And he says, it's important that we accept the whole message that comes to us from the Word of God on the second Sunday of Easter, which is now on, from now on shall be known as Divine Mercy Sunday. And in his revelations to Faustina and in her diary, there were 14 revelations concerning the feast, more than any other devotion, more than any other element. I remember Father Seraphim Michalenko, who was the vice postulator for the cause of St. Faustina, a good friend of mine, my mentor in divine mercy. He said this was the first and really the most important aspect of the devotion. We think of the chaplet, we think of the image, we think of all these other areas, but I'll tell you what, this is by far extraordinary, because the Lord said this. Here's the extraordinary promise, and I'll share with you what he says out of the diary. We'll talk to our guest coming up here in a quick second as well. The Lord says, look, I desire that this feast be a refuge and a shelter for souls, right? On this day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. And the Lord promised that he's going to pour an ocean of grace upon you, on anybody who approaches the fount of his mercy. But here's the extraordinary promise, okay? He says, the soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion shall obtain complete forgiveness of sin and punishment. That's the temporal punishment due to your sin. So often, you know, when you go to confession, you know, you're absolved of your sins, but you're given a penance, or you've got to do something to atone for the temporal punishment that's due to your sin. On this day, they say it's like a new baptism. On this day, the floodgates of mercy are open. On this day, you can obtain complete forgiveness of sin and the punishment due to it. And Father Seraphim pointed out to me, he says, this is simply, this is a new baptism. You know, there's none of these other tangential things that are associated to it. The Lord wanted to make it so easy for us to receive these graces. That's all you have to do. So anyone who's away from the faith, if you've not been to confession in a day, a month, a year, or 50 years, this is the day to come back. One final note. I find this striking. There was a Dominican. He was a canon lawyer, and his name was Canon Ruzicki, I think was his name. He was appointed by John Paul II to analyze the promise that our Lord gave in this devotion to divine mercy. And he went into his investigation intending to tear this promise apart. Because a lot of people, what, the Lord would say just communion and confession and that's all? No way. So he went in as a canon lawyer. He was going to dismantle this. He was going to show that there was error here. And he thoroughly studied this promise. John Paul wanted to make sure that he was right on this one. And let me just share with you what he said. He said, the extraordinary grace promised by Jesus in connection with the Feast of Mercy is something greater than a plenary indulgence. He says a plenary indulgence consists only of the forgiveness of temporal punishment due to the sins already forgiven. It never forgives the sins themselves. So the remarkable grace, he said, promised by our Lord on the Feast of Mercy is the same as a second baptism. Now, the sacramental grace of baptism is received, you know, by adults. It's not only, you know, the removal of the original sin from their soul, but also the removal of all personal sins committed since birth. A lot of people in the Middle Ages, they would wait to be baptized on their deathbeds. That's a big gamble. But they understood this and any punishment due them. But Canon Ruzicki, basically this beautiful, brilliant canon lawyer appointed by John Paul II, says this indulgence, is it's greater even than a plenary indulgence. And again, I'm not a canon lawyer, but that's what the Lord had said. Let me welcome to the program. Let's talk with a sister from St. Faustina's order. She's going to be giving a talk, I believe, at Marytown this coming weekend, and I want to get you connected to her. If you are in Illinois, you can go to the Shrine of Maximilian Kolbe. She's the Directress of Vocations for the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy. That's the same religious congregation that St. Faustina belonged to. Originally from Slovakia, she's now stationed in the U.S. She's been going around our nation talking about Divine Mercy. So she is our go-to expert today on all things Divine Mercy. You can learn more about her by going to SisterFaustina.org, SisterFaustina.org. And it's great to have with me Sister Inga. What's her last name? Kasayovoya? Kavasiova. Sister, forgive me for butchering your name if I did that. It's good to have you with me.
Thank you so very much. Yes.
Say your name for me, because we haven't had a chance to talk yet. I'd like to get it right.
Mm-hmm. Kvasayova.
Okay, I'm not going to try that again. It's good to have you, sister. Thank you so much. Happy Easter to you.
Happy Easter to you, too. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you.
Well, I think it's God's providence. I was thinking about who I was going to talk to today about this great feast, and a number of regulars normally come on every year with me, and the door was closed, and I remember seeing that you're going to be giving a talk at a national shrine in Illinois. Are you doing that on Divine Mercy Sunday? Is that what you're doing that day? So
yes,
I thought I'd invite you to come on the show.
Yes.
Well, I hope people will come and hear you. Let's talk about Divine Mercy. And maybe we could talk about what the Lord promised on this day. So bring us back. The Lord spoke more to St. Faustina about this aspect of Divine Mercy than really anything else. This Feast of Mercy, it was so important that it be proclaimed. And it became not just Faustina's mission, but that of Blessed Sopochko and so many others. Fill us in on the Feast of Mercy, what the Lord said, and maybe clarify for us as well, you know, what there's often confusion over this plenary indulgence and this extraordinary promise.
Yes, so the Lord spoke a lot about this feast. It's perfectly in the middle of his heart. That's his heart's desires, that every soul would know about his mercy. And, you know, there was a moment when Michael Sopochko, the confessor of St. Faustina, you know, he asked St. Faustina to ask him, you know, why do you want this this feast? You know, we could say, are there not enough feasts in the church, right? And he said that, yes, but who knows about it, right? Who knows about my mercy? It is not proclaimed even by those who should speak about it, right?
Yeah.
So he wanted to emphasize this. His mercy is the greatest attribute. You know, many people ask even that, I will go around and I will get to your point, but I think this is important because many people, they just, you know, have this confusion, or they ask, you know, but how this can be, how can you say that the mercy is the greatest attribute of God? Is he not just? Is he not omnipotent? Is he not all these things, you know, all these other attributes? Is it not perfect in him, all these attributes? And yes, that's true. He's just as he is also merciful, right? But we people, we experience his mercy more than justice or any other of his attributes. So he wanted the whole mankind to know about this, know about his mercy. Therefore, he comes to St. Faustina and asks her, you know, speak, my daughter, about my mercy. Yes. And actually, Divine Mercy Sunday, this is we could say that even the most important of them, of those devotions to Divine Mercy, because it emphasizes his great goodness, everything that happened in Easter mystery, you know, everything on, you know, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then his resurrection. Everything is crowned by his mercy. So therefore.
Beautifully said, sister. It really is beautifully said. So when it comes to receiving the extraordinary promise of divine mercy, you know, a lot of people feel they have to go to confession on the day of the Feast of Mercy, on Divine Mercy Sunday. But that's not the case, right? Because if everybody wanted to take advantage of this, there's not enough priests in the world to hear everybody's confession. You have to go within very close proximity. Can you explain that? I know some people have questions about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, the Lord never said that you have to go the same day, you know, on Divine Mercy Sunday. Can you imagine that everybody would want to go to confession on that day? You know, priests wouldn't be able to celebrate, you know, masses because they would be sitting in the confessional. So, no, it's enough if you are in the state of grace. So if you have gone to confession a couple of days before the feast and received the Holy Communion, this is really, really the only condition to receive the great graces of Divine Mercy Sunday. To be in state of grace, receive Jesus in Holy Communion. It's so, you know, God makes it so easy to us. He makes everything to get us in heaven, right? And so the only other thing that he asks on this day is our disposition of heart, meaning trust in his goodness and be merciful to others, to your neighbor. So if you go to receive to Holy Communion with this attitude of your heart that you believe and you trust in God's goodness and mercy, and you do at least one little deed of mercy that day, meaning it could be even prayer, because deeds of mercy, as the Lord said to St. Faustina, can be done by action, by words, or by prayer. So you can go ahead and do something good to your neighbor or just, you know, the member of your family. Or you can say something encouraging, something edifying, something good that the person needs to hear. Or if you don't have even, you know, this kind of occasion or possibility because you are, for example, at your home, bedridden, for example, right? You still can pray. And that's a deed of mercy. You still can pray. This is so easy to do, right? And receive the Holy Communion. So, yeah, and the Lord promises the whole ocean of graces. Wow. The floodgates are open on this day. Yeah. And the great promise of complete forgiveness of sins and punishment is available. It's just, you know, at the hand reach, right? You can just reach it. You can just ask it. For it, and you have it.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful day. I've seen miracles happen on this day. I bet you probably have seen them as well. There have been, I prayed for somebody who was really bound in addiction, and you know, they were ultimately, you know, God's time is not ours. It wasn't an instant cure, but that person today is totally free from addiction. And I wrote about it in a book that I did on Divine Mercy. But what have you seen on this day? You know, on the day in which God opens these floodgates, you know, mm-hmm. He says, you know, let no soul fear come to me. You know, on this day, He's offering us forgiveness for sin and punishment. Floodgates of His mercy flow. He says, let no one fear, no matter how scarlet their sin is. What have you seen on this day? I mean, how do you look towards the great feast of Divine Mercy, and what are some of the miracles that took place that you can talk about?
Mm-hmm. So what I see, it's really this kind of openness of hearts. You know, there's a great anticipation on the people's side, you know, part. They are really waiting for this day because they believe that this is a special day. And God has something special for them. So I see a great faith of people. You know, faith is deepened as they anticipate Divine Mercy Sunday. And then they are able to go and receive the Holy Communion with open hearts. And this is so precious to the Lord. So this is what I see. And I see this hidden miracles, you know, because even the Lord said that the greatest miracles are hidden. The greatest miracles yeah. take place in the confessional, right?
Yes.
We don't need to see, we do see, but for our faith, it's necessary just to believe, right? We do see miracles like, you know, somebody is healed from addiction or from a disease, or somebody converts, right, on this day. There were cases like this as well, or family reconciles, or, you know, family members come back home or are healed, right? But the real miracles happen in the hearts of people. Yeah. They encounter the Lord in their hearts on this day in a special way. Their hearts are touched, and this is something precious yeah. because nobody can take this away from you. You yeah. will remember this for your whole life. This is the greatest miracle for me when I see people, you know, praying so fervently and with tears in their eyes, and yeah. I see that the encounter with the Lord took place. This is the most precious thing.
Oh, how beautiful. My guest today is a Sister of Mercy. She hails from St. Faustina's Order. And we'll continue our conversation with Sister Inga when I return. If you want to join us, and I know there's several people on hold. If you're on hold, I'll get you on the air. We'll answer a few of your questions on the other side. You can dial in at 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. This Sunday is Divine Mercy Sunday. And boy, it's an extraordinary day. One of my favorites. Stay with us. Our conversation continues right after this.
Your virtual parish. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Thanks to network sponsor PushPay. PushPay offers parishes a platform for tracking donations and sacraments, overseeing schedules, mobile apps to help manage your administrative load, and much more. Info at relevantradio.com/pushpay. That's relevantradio.com/pushpay.
Jesus says, "My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I desire that the Feast of Mercy be a refuge and a shelter for all souls." I love that Jesus says that, a refuge and a shelter for all souls. What's a refuge? What's a shelter? It's a place of protection. It's a place of safety. And in my life, I've experienced that feeling of being unsafe because of my brokenness. Maybe in your life right now, you're feeling not safe. Jesus wants his divine mercy, his sacred heart, to be a place of protection.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. It's so good to be here with you today. You know my love of divine mercy. I hope you have the same love. This second Sunday of Easter is Divine Mercy Sunday. And we're talking about the great feast of divine mercy, something that our Lord spoke to St. Faustina more than anything else. It's this, Father Seraph Mikulenko once said to me that this is the first and most important element of the whole devotion, and that there were 14 different revelations concerning the feast, more than any other element, more than he spoke about the image or the chaplet or any of those things. If you have a question, we'll try to answer your question for you now as we take a look at the Great Feast of Mercy. There's other things to talk about, too. We've got the extraordinary promise. If you have an image of divine mercy, I'd recommend you have it blessed on that day. We'll talk about why and what the Lord said regarding the image, and we'll answer any of your questions regarding divine mercy. So feel free to join us today at 888-914-9149. I'm joined right now by Sister Inga Kavasia Ova, I hope I got that right, Kavasiova. And sister, it's good to have you back here with me today. You and I were talking during the break, and I think it's just so important to keep clarifying this. And then we'll take calls. The extraordinary promise and the plenary indulgence. On this day, we can get both, right? You can get the extraordinary promise by receiving sacramental, you know, confession, mm-hmm. and our Lord in the Eucharist. But you can also apply, and that can only be applied to yourself. You can't do anything else with that. That's for you. But we can get a plenary indulgence, right? And apply that towards somebody else, maybe a purgatorial soul?
Souls in purgatory, yes. Yep.
All right, and that mm-hmm. requires the usual conditions, right? Detachment from sin, all sin, prayer for the Holy Father, et cetera, right?
So that's actually... they are not the same because for this great grace of Divine Mercy Sunday, you know, the Lord really makes it so easy for us. You don't even have to pray for the Holy Father,
right.
You know,
I love it.
Which is one of the conditions of the plenary indulgence. Right. So you just really have to receive the Holy Communion, being in the state of grace and have this attitude of trust and mercy in your heart. That's it.
I love it. It's so simple, and you're right. This is the day the Lord, he gave us every opportunity to ultimately turn and return to him. I love it so much. Let's take a few phone calls for you, okay, sister? Some people have questions for you, and I'll let you respond to Sue. She's in Sacramento, California. Hi, Sue. You are on the air with Sister Inga. Go right ahead.
Yes, hi, happy Easter to both of you.
Thank you, happy Easter.
Thank you, happy Easter.
Okay, so my question is, our parish had a group confession a couple of weeks prior to Easter, where there were like 10 priests that said confession, and that's when I went and, to confession. Would that count for... this Sunday, Divine Mercy, going to communion and being absolved 2 weeks ago? Or do you have to go to confession last week or next week? Okay.
Well, okay, so two things. One is that the best is if you go to confession before the feast, not after, right? Because you want to... live through the feast and receive the graces with clean heart, you know, purified heart. So my advice would be to go to confession before the feast, not after. And 2 weeks before feast is okay until you are in state of grace. So this is the most important, right?
Yeah,
if you are in state of grace, that's fine.
All right. Sue, thank you very much for your call. I don't think it can hurt. Maybe go to confession tomorrow, or if you can't do it on Sunday, go the day after, but get to confession as soon as you possibly can. You can go after if for some reason you can't make it this weekend. Am I correct in that, sister?
Yes. Again, if you are in state of grace, you can go to confession after the feast, but... Right. If you are not, then you have to go before, right? Because you cannot.
Sue, I'm sorry, Carol's in Plainfield, Illinois. Carol, good afternoon. You're on the air with Sister Inga.
Good afternoon, and God bless everybody for divine mercy.
Amen.
Because he is so filled with love, he overflows the love. He was a Eucharistic minister for the homebound, but now I'm 79 and I am homebound. And we don't have enough priests to go to the homebound. So what I wanted to know is if I make a act of contrition until I can go to confession, and if I make a spiritual communion, because I know there are many people that are homebound, but if I make the spiritual communion, would that be acceptable?
Tell me again your name, please. Carol?
Yes, Carol.
Is it Carol? Carol, thank you for your question. Yes, so look, the Lord is so good. The Lord is so merciful and so compassionate. He knows everything. He knows our hearts. He knows our conditions. He knows our possibilities, right? If there is no other possibility for you to receive the Holy Communion, yes, please, by every means, you know, make a spiritual Holy Communion. And I'm sure, you know, I believe and I trust that you, yes, you will be able to receive the great grace of Divine Mercy Sunday.
All right. Well, thank you, Carol. I mean, it's hard for a lot of homebound people and, you know, those are in prison. I want to go back to the point, too. If you are homebound, you know, please call your local parish. And maybe somebody can bring you communion. Maybe a priest can hear your confession, you know, and make a home visit for you. And, you know, that's part of what they want to do, as you heard of my last guest say. Father Michael Moses was with us. Sharon in Minnesota, good afternoon. You are on the air with Sister Inga. Go right ahead.
Okay. My question is, I am 77 years old, and I wanted to do this Divine Mercy for myself tomorrow for the promise that God made, that all your sins would be gone. But I had a sister that just died in March. February. And she was handicapped since she was 17 years old, hit by a drunk driver.
Oh,
and so
sorry.
She could walk, but her mind was fine to understand. And so my friend always tells me, she's going straight to heaven, she's going straight to heaven. So I'm wondering, you can only, if I did my sister, I can't do myself, right?
Here's what you can do. And sister, you can clarify this. The extraordinary promise of divine mercy is available to you, Sharon, but you can also obtain a plenary indulgence and apply that to your sister who's gone before you. And sister, you want to expand on that? I'm accurate in that, am I not?
Yes, you're correct. Yeah. Plenary indulgence you can obtain for your sister. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so you can do both. Well, it's a day of extraordinary grace. Sharon, thank you for calling. I'm grateful for it. Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. Anna, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you guys doing?
We're well. Thanks for joining us.
Good. I do have a question. I'm just come back to the Catholic Church, thanks to you guys.
Great.
And we've been going to Mass. My children, which one is 19 and 12, they have not made their first communion yet. So I'm in the process of getting them enrolled. But the question I have is, when I go to confession, can they go to confession also?
If they are baptized, yes, they can go to confession, of course. Yes, even if they haven't received Holy Communion yet.
Well, okay, that's great.
Anna, first of all, welcome back. That's great. It's good to have you.
Thank you.
Good to have you in the church. That's great. Fantastic. And for your beautiful children, too. I think one's 19, one's 12, as my call screener was just telling me. So they're one is an adult. Catherine is in Rhode Island. Catherine, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Hey, Catherine.
Thank you for taking my call, and happy birthday to your son.
I want to share, I think it's a miracle myself.
Yeah.
Today I went to Mass, to a local parish where we say the rosary, go to Mass, have Mass, and then say the Divine Mercy Chaplet after it. And then on Fridays, he has confession. Well, today it was taking too long, so I couldn't go to confession with them. So I went about my day, and at the end of my little chores I had to finish up, I'm driving down the road, and I said, I'm going to go to St. Philip's, and I'm going to say the rosary with Jesus, and I'm going to say another Divine Mercy Chaplet with Jesus. So I did. I'm in there. And I'm looking at Jesus, and I said, you know, it would be really wonderful, Jesus, if I could go to confession today. Huh. I heard the door open. I turn around and look. There's the priest.
He's
looking directly at me. And I looked at him, and I pointed to myself, and he nodded yes. I went to confession. I was like, thank you, Jesus. You are awesome.
You know, Catherine, I love it. You know, it makes me happy actually to hear about that. God hears our prayers. He does. Sister, I had last Divine Mercy Sunday, and I'll share a quick story following up with Catherine. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about what the Lord told St. Faustina about confession, because a lot of people don't want to go. I want to talk about confession with you for a minute. But yeah. Last Divine Mercy Sunday, I had moved to a new area. And every Divine Mercy Sunday, I normally have to do something here at the network. We sometimes stream the chaplet live, but this year I didn't. So I said to my wife, I said, let's go find a church. I don't know if the church is around here. We'll find one that has Divine Mercy Sunday. And I asked the Lord, like Catherine, Lord, lead me to the church you want me to go to. I don't know where you want. So I got online. I found a couple churches. I said, well, let's go to this one, right? And I end up going to the church. And as I'm getting ready to walk out the door, I said, oh, wait, I should bring my first-class relic of St. Faustina. This was given to me by the vice postulator. And they're not for your personal use. They should be venerated by everyone. So I get to this church. I come in, and I was greeted by an usher. And I said, look, I have a first-class relic of St. Faustina. And would you ask Father if he would like it for the celebration? And she goes, oh, I'll be right back. Hang on a second. He was in the confessional here at Confessions. And she knocks on the door. She goes, there's a guy here by the name of Drew. He says he's got a first-class relic. And the priest says, well, does he have the papers of authenticity? And I said, yeah, I do have them. So they came out. They took the relic. Well, I just found out from that priest. He was sitting in the confessional, and he was praying to the Lord for a divine mercy miracle like Catherine, like everybody else. He was saying, Lord, I would love to have a first-class relic of St. Faustina here on this Divine Mercy Sunday. I would love you to deliver me a first-class relic. I had no idea the priest was praying this. He was praying to God. God's outside of time. Those prayers were heard, and here we were. We brought this relic of St. Faustina to that celebration. So you can pray for anything. God hears prayers. He's outside of time, and he can orchestrate things in a way that are just amazing. So if you need somebody to hear your confession, you know, if you're homebound and you want to get to Mercy Sunday celebration, ask God to do it. If you're praying for your child to be free from addiction, if you need a miracle in your life, I'm telling you, on Sunday, the great feast of Divine Mercy, the floodgates of God's mercy are open. That's a huge day. Pray big. Sister, I need to take a short pause. When we come back, let's talk about the image of Divine Mercy, because there's another aspect of the Feast of Mercy. And the Lord talked about having that blessed on Divine Mercy Sunday. And not a whole lot of people know about this. We could talk about that. We'll talk about confession. We'll take a few more calls. We're back with more. Stay with us right after this.
Did you like what Drew and the guest had to say? Get caught up on this conversation and all the others by going to the Relevant Radio Archives. Just search for The Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, if you haven't heard, the next Relevant Radio pilgrimage is being led by Father Rocky. He's going to Poland and Prague this September, and tickets for the trip are almost sold out. You can reserve your spot today at relevantradio.com/Poland. That's relevantradio.com/Poland.
So if you're going through anxiety, fear, depression, I encourage you, go to the hearts of Jesus and Mary and hand it all over to them. He says, on that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out a whole ocean of graces to the souls who approach the fountain of my mercy. And here's the great promise, he says. He says, the soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion will obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishments. That's huge grace that's being offered for the time of mercy that we're living in.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
What an extraordinary grace we are being given through Divine Mercy. It's great to be with you. We're going to be celebrating Divine Mercy Sunday this Sunday. And I would just encourage you to get to confession and receive our Lord worthily on that day. On that day, the very depths of God's tender mercy are open. And the Lord said, let no soul fear to draw near to him, even if your sin be as scarlet. It's one of my favorite days. I am speaking today with Sister Inga Kovasiova. She is a Sister of Mercy, comes from St. Faustina's Order, and we're just answering your questions regarding Divine Mercy. And there's a lot we still have to get to. I haven't touched on the image. I haven't touched on a lot of other things that are important. But really, the devotion is you know, these are tangential things, these channels of grace, like the image, the chaplet, all these other things we often talk about. Sister, let's before we take any calls or anything else, let's talk outside of those specific elements of the devotion, what the heart of Divine Mercy is all about, why the Lord came to Faustina, and what Divine Mercy truly is.
Yes. So Divine Mercy, that's the heart. The heart is the goodness and mercy of the Lord. This is what he wanted us to know. You know, I have this experience that when I travel, when I meet with people, and those are different people, you know, Sunday goers or not goers at all, or everyday mass goers, you know, most of us, we don't have this courage to entrust our lives completely to the Lord. We are afraid. We think that the Lord will take something from us or will not give us what we need. We want to manage ourselves. We want to arrange things ourselves instead of, you know, turning to the Lord and asking everything from him, expecting everything from him. And this is because we don't know him. We don't know his goodness. And this is the core of the diary of St. Faustina, the core of the message of mercy. The Lord came to her, telling her, begging her, tell the whole mankind about my mercy. I am love and mercy itself. And he says that his heart is bleeding, is wounded, because we don't believe in his goodness. Therefore, he came. And on top of it, you know, so that we would believe even more, he gave us these five forms of devotion to Divine Mercy. So really the core is to his goodness, his mercy, and his desire for us to trust him. This is really the core of the message.
It's so beautiful. Before we go back to the phones, let's talk about the image of Divine Mercy as well. Mm-hmm. We know the Lord attached to that many promises, especially promises of protection to those who venerate him. But he also asked, didn't he, St. Faustina, to have the image blessed on Divine Mercy Sunday? He says, you know, well, I'll let you share what he said.
Yes, he asked that the image would be displayed on Divine Mercy Sunday in the church, solemnly blessed and venerated. Yes, this is what he desires. And then he wants priests to preach on his Divine Mercy. And he even says that he gives this promise to the priests. If they will speak about his mercy, hardened sinners, their hearts will be softened and they will be converted. He will anoint the priests' words and the hearts will be converted. So this is a very special way, a very special day, Divine Mercy Sunday.
I love it. And a big part of this as well is the confessional. What did St. Faustina, what did the Lord reveal to her about that sacrament?
Again, that there is nothing to be afraid of because he himself is waiting in the confessional for us. He says that he is only hidden by the priest, but really it's him who waits for us there and who wants to, you know, shower all these graces upon us. You know, many times we think about confession that, okay, I'm going there, I will survive somehow. I will say my sins, my shortcomings, and I will be forgiven, right? Yeah. But there is so much more to it. You know, you are not just forgiven, but you're completely embraced by his mercy. And you are given so many other graces as well, as the Catechism tells us, right? For example, you gain strength in fighting against evil, against your vices, you know. You're strengthened and you're enveloped by his mercy. We have no idea what we receive there if we approach confessional with trust, right?
Yeah, it's so beautiful. I would invite anyone who's not been to confession in a long time, get to confession. You can go tomorrow. You can go on the Feast of Mercy. It's going to be available. Please, I really want to encourage people to take advantage of this extraordinary promise, these torrents of grace that God wants to give you on that day. I like to spend that day in prayer. I'm going to be spending several hours praying, and I will certainly pray for you and for all of your intentions on that day. Mm-hmm. And I ask you to please pray for me too. If you are listening, wherever you are, could certainly use your prayers as well. Sister, before I take a few more calls here, I just want to, I'm curious about you. You're a member of Sister Faustina's order, her congregation. How did you get led there? Tell me about that.
Well, yes, my story is a little bit more complicated. So I wasn't raised in faith. So it's probably not me, but the Lord who took me to himself, sure, you know, closer to his heart and showed me his mercy. He gave me the great gift of faith, you know, because I didn't have any. I didn't know him. And then because of my aunt from Hungary, she just, you know, out of the blue, you know, that's God's ways. She sent me the diary of St. Faustina. So I learned about Divine Mercy through the diary and through the priest who was in my home parish, and he was speaking about mercy very often, and I just couldn't understand why, you know. And then one day I learned from him about Krakow, about our sisters, and one day I went to visit, and I just knew that's my place.
Yeah. Well, let me do this. Madeline is in Brooklyn, New York, and I'm just seeing her call here. She actually had the same question I had asked you about how you became a sister. I think she's discerning religious life. Madeline, good afternoon.
Oh, hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Again.
It's good to have you here, Madeline. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering, you know, how you become a sister. Like, do I get my plane ticket now and go to Poland? Or can I join in Brooklyn?
Yes. So if somebody's discerning a vocation, like Madeline is, feeling this pull, my call screener said she was, you know, putting this before the Lord in adoration. I think that's the best first step, right? Pray about it.
Oh, yeah. I do that all the time.
What's the next step, Sister Inga?
Well, I would say if you don't have a spiritual director, then get one.
Oh, I do.
Do you?
I do.
Okay. Because
I do, yes.
That's a great help when someone can walk with you and really see if this is a call from the Lord, if this desire is really inspired, you know. And then, yeah, take steps, take courage, and contact some orders and go visit first. Go visit, and then you will see when you experience, you know, a couple of days with the sisters, how they live. You will really feel the place. Experience the place and the charism, the atmosphere, and you will hopefully will have greater clarity. This is for you.
All right.
Yeah, I definitely have a Father Sapochko. So
that's great.
And I call him that all the time. So shout out, Monzi.
All right. Hey, Madeline, great. Have a happy feast day, okay? Looking forward to hearing that. Our next call comes from Maria. She's in Baldwin Park, California. Hi, Maria.
Good afternoon. I'm sorry. I just have a question. My son is autistic, and I have a daughter with ADHD. It's regarding confession. When they go to confession, it's very hard for me to explain that to them. And some of the priests, my children have felt that they're not understood, or they're given the time because of their disability. Mm-hmm. How can I reassure them that their confession is a whole confession, and they can go to communion and receive communion?
Okay.
And how can I myself feel that
Maria, let me do this. I'm going to jump in. I think I get the gist of what you're saying, because we only have a moment left here. Make an appointment with a priest if you're really concerned about having that one-on-one time for both, you know, your children or yourself. I'm telling you, make an appointment. Set up time for confession and explain the whole situation, and they'll be able to do that. Sister, did you want to add to that at all?
Yeah, that was my first thought as well, that probably the best for you would be make an appointment with the priest, telling him beforehand the situation, and he would be able to handle that, you know, in a proper way. Mm-hmm.
Sister, yeah. I wish I had more time. I am out of it. I have less than 60 seconds to spend with you. Thank you for your yes to God and for your time with us today. I will remember you in my prayers. Will you do that for us as well?
Of course, I will be praying for all of you, for all the listeners to Relevant Radio, and for you, Drew. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Please pray for me too.
I am going to stop in this chapel right now and go before the Lord, and I will say hello for you, okay?
Thanks.
I hopefully I'll pass across. Maybe I'll get to hear you talk too. So if I do, I'll stop up and say hello. My thanks to Sister Inga there. Say a prayer for her. Don't forget, the Feast of Divine Mercy is this Sunday. Get the confession, receive our Lord, tap into that extraordinary grace. If you missed this conversation, want your questions answered, Maggie will have it up in our podcast. Count on my deepest prayers this weekend. Remember, God loves you, and so do I.